I am an anxious worrier. I have been all of my life. When I was in the first grade, my teacher, Miss Campbell, called me old man behind my back. I wrote my first research paper in fifth grade. Mrs. Hayes had said to write about something we knew. I wrote about anxiety. The principal, Mrs. Altman, commended me for my insight. I make daily task lists. Then I rank the tasks, A, B, and C. After that, I prioritize each category of tasks, A1, A2, A3, and so on. I have 146 items on the C list alone. I do not usually get to the C list, but then I worry about that. I like things just so. There are other ways to describe that characteristic, but not that you can say in church. I am a recovering perfectionist. These traits are not all bad, especially for a lawyer. I am not sure that I could have built a law practice if I had answered concerned client inquiries with the response, "Que sera, sera." But being an anxious perfectionist is a hard way to live. And as my family most especially can attest, it's hard to live with. Ultimately, it's about hubris and self-centeredness and control, no matter how illusionary. So what does all of this have to do with stewardship? When I give money, time, and talents to the church, I acknowledge in a tangible way that I belong to God, that all that I am and all that I have comes from God and belongs to Him. When I give to the church, I reaffirm the importance of letting go and trusting God. Worrying does not add a single hour to my life. The birds of the air do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. In that letting go is great joy and peace. The Disney movie Frozen was a huge success. Audiences went to see the movie over and over again and enthusiastically sang along with the songs. According to conventional wisdom, little girls made the movie popular. Instead, I think it was the little girls' mothers who made the movie a phenomenon. It was the mothers who loved to sing, "Let it go, let it go, let it go." When we Christians let go, we fall into the loving arms of God and His protective embrace. What a relief to let go, to thaw a frozen heart. I give to get outside of myself, to give over myself, to be more connected to God. I give to be more connected with the larger church and other Methodist churches. Churches like Central United Methodist in Canton, North Carolina, where my maternal grandparents were members. Morningstar United Methodist in nearby Dutch Cove, where my great Aunt Hazel prepared communion for 50 years. Bethel United Methodist in Walterboro, where my paternal grandmother was a member. Grandmother Herring was the daughter of a Methodist minister and the sister of two Methodist ministers, all in the South Carolina Conference. I give out of gratitude for Vineville United Methodist in Macon, where I grew up, and where Dr. Frederick Wilson was my boyhood hero. I give to support and thank our pastors and staff, both past and present, here at Wesley Monumental. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jane, Hamp, Jim, David, Lowry, Creed, and Ben. I give because of the music. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, choirs. I give to support my fellow church members. You are examples for me of Christian service. You see in me a better person than I sometimes see in myself, and you inspire me to be a better self. Thank you. I give because together we can accomplish more in the name of Jesus than we could ever accomplish separately. Thank you, Building Committee. Thank you, Finance Committee. Thank you, Wesley Gardens Committee. Thank you, Trustees. Thank you, Missions Committee. Thank you, Administrative Board. I give because I am grateful for all the children who attend Eli's Place and who attend on Sunday mornings. I give because I remember when four or five children might march up front for the children's sermon. But now there are multitudes. I am grateful for squealing children having fun on a playground in downtown Savannah. And I am grateful that with God's grace, our church made that possible. Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. When I meet St. Peter, I want to be able to say, I know I have a lot to account for, but do not look for me on the millstone list. My epitaph could read, here lies Wade Herring. At least he wasn't on the millstone list. So how should we give of our money, our time, our talent? As I said, I am a recovering perfectionist. In some ways, it's a very American trait. Any job worth doing is worth doing well. Give it 110%. Give it all or nothing at all. It's not all bad. I do not think I could have built a law practice on the slogan, when just good enough will do. But if your motto is all or nothing at all, you can easily end up with a whole lot of nothing, missing out on experiences and relationships because you are afraid to be less than perfect. Here's the good news. God does not demand perfection. He meets us where we are. He forgives us and loves us, even though we are sinners. When people criticize the church because it is full of sinners, they miss the point. The church is intended for sinners. I am not a perfect giver. My church attendance is far from perfect. My prayer life and Bible reading are less than ideal. I am wanting in many other ways that I would rather not confess from the pulpit or anywhere else. But I know in faith that God wants to be in a relationship with me. He calls for me. He stands by the road and watches for me to turn toward him. And when I do, he runs to greet me and throws his arms around me. Welcome home, he says. The kingdom is here on earth as well as in heaven. And so I give, no matter how imperfectly, because what else can I do? Thank you, God.